Good evening. It's good to be back in Alabama in this nice, balmy weather. But it's even better to be back here at Jackson Drive with my brothers and sisters here. This evening, what we're going to be looking at, what we're going to be considering, is true greatness and the greatness of walking in God's way. When I found out what this lesson was supposed to be the topic was, or maybe I should say when I found out what I thought I understood the topic of this lesson to be about, I thought, you know, what will happen if I just go on Google and search how to be great? What does the world think about greatness? What does the world think what it means to be great? And so I did that. And so you Google how to be great, and you get things like top 10 characteristics of the greatest CEOs. How to be great in 5 easy steps. What the greatest actors have in common. You get a lot of things like that. Ooh, you especially get a lot of things like the greatest tips on how to be rich. You get a lot of things like that. But what we want to consider, what we want to spend our time on just briefly this evening, is how the wisdom of walking in God's way, or the godliness of walking in wisdom's way, how that is what makes one great. Because what does the world think is greatness? Maybe it's wealth, but consider what Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5 say. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your considerations of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Or consider Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8. Better is the little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Or again, Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. What we learn from Proverbs is exactly the opposite of what the world will tell us is great. Maybe the world thinks power is great. Maybe the world thinks that fame or popularity is great. Go with me to the New Testament, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. And of course, and we look at the story of Simon the Sorcerer, as we call him, know that he became a Christian, but then he wanted that power. He was severely reprimanded for that. But this man, he was claiming to be someone great. People were giving attention to him. They were saying, "This man is the great power of God." That's the kind of attitude the world has about greatness. But what does the Lord think is greatness? What does the Lord think is greatness? For the next few minutes, we're going to go through Scripture. And we're going to look at some examples, or at least briefly mention some examples of people walking in God's way. People using godly wisdom. And how that is true greatness. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. And we could look at a lot of different examples, but the first person I want us to consider is Joseph. Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. He's such a good steward or a good manager of Potiphar's house that Potiphar trusts him with all that he has except for his wife. But Potiphar's wife, she wants to lie with Joseph. But what does Joseph do? He does what's right. He uses godly wisdom, flees from her, leaves. And of course, right after that, Potiphar has Joseph thrown in prison. But ultimately, because of Joseph's godly wisdom and Joseph walking in God's way, he becomes more powerful. He becomes second command of Egypt. But consider Proverbs 7, verses 4 and 5, and we could look at so many different other places that say much the same thing. Say to wisdom, "You're my sister," and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. All throughout the book of Proverbs, you see warnings against adultery, warnings from a father to a son against these adulteresses. And we see Joseph using that same sort of wisdom. It may seem easier then, it may seem more convenient then, but to walk in God's way, to walk in wisdom's way, that is what leads you to be truly great. And whether Joseph had ended up second command of Egypt, or whether he had stayed in prison, in the Lord's eyes, following him is what is truly great. Consider David, King David. In 2 Samuel 5, verse 10, or we could read in 1 Chronicles 11, 9, much the same thing. David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. That's what made David great, was when the Lord was with him. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 36, David is singing this song. And in this song, he tells what makes him great. Because David was a powerful king, conquering his enemies. But in 2 Samuel 22, 36, David sings about what makes him great. "You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your help makes me great." In 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10, David prays here. And again, David recognizes what it is that has made him great. David recognizes that it's not his wealth, his power in of itself that has made him great, but it's what has given him that wealth and power that makes greatness. 1 Chronicles 29:10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great, and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank you, and praise your glorious name." David was called a man after God's own heart. David walked in God's way. David walked with godly wisdom. And he recognized that it was God who was making him great. In God's hand was the power to make great, and to strengthen. And David praised the Lord for that. But think about David's son. Consider Solomon. We often think of Solomon as later in life when he strayed from the Lord. But think about in 1 Kings chapter 1. David is making Solomon king. Solomon is becoming king. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 37, a man is saying this blessing. "As the Lord has been with my Lord the king," that is David, "so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord, King David." As Solomon is becoming king, this man says this blessing, recognizing that the Lord has made David great. May the Lord make Solomon even greater than David. We read about Solomon's exaltation and about his wisdom in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1, Solomon becomes king. Now Solomon, the son of David, established himself securely over his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him greatly. The Lord was with Solomon. The Lord was exalting him. The Lord was making Solomon great. Go down with me to verse 7. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." Solomon said to God, "You have dealt with my father David with great love and kindness, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Because you had this in mind, and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge, that you may rule my people over whom I have made you king, wisdom and knowledge have been granted to you. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you." Solomon becomes king, and God asks him, What should I give you? What do you want me to give you? Solomon could have asked for more wealth, for more power, to have all his enemies be destroyed. He could have asked for a long life for himself. But what Solomon realized that he needed to do his job, to rule over God's people, was wisdom and knowledge. And just like a great number of the Proverbs are Solomon's, and even the ones that aren't, constantly admonish people to look after wisdom, gain understanding, gain knowledge. Here, that's what Solomon answered to God. "I need wisdom, I need knowledge to rule over this people of yours." And God was pleased with that answer. Because all those things that Solomon could have asked for but didn't, that's what the world says is great. That's what all the kings and the nations around thought was great. But Solomon realized what God thought was great. And because Solomon realized that, God gave him those other things that people think are great. But that's not what made Solomon great. In 2 Chronicles 9:22, or we could look in 1 Kings 10:23, this is what happens to Solomon's king. "So King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom." Because he understood what God thought was great, then he became greater than all the kings of the earth. Of course, later Solomon didn't use his wisdom, and the kingdom was split. But eventually, a man named Jehoshaphat becomes king. And we want to talk about two kings here, two kings of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1. "Jehoshaphat his son then became king in his place and made his position over Israel firm. He placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father David's earlier days. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, followed his commandments, and did not act as Israel did. So the Lord established the kingdom in his control, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor. He took great pride in the ways of the Lord, and again removed the high places and the Asherim from Judah. And then verse 12, so Jehoshaphat grew greater and greater, and he built fortresses and store cities in Judah. We have this king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. And he grows greater and greater. But why? It's because the Lord is with him. And why is the Lord with him? Because he follows the example of his forefather David. Because he sought God. He followed God's commandments. He did not act as Israel did. He did not act evil. He did not go after other gods. Jehoshaphat sought after God, and that was what made him great. Think a little bit later to King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 now. And we'll go to read to the beginning of chapter 32. Hezekiah does what is good and right and true. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart, and prospered. After these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and besieged the fortified cities and thought to break into them for himself. Hezekiah followed the Lord. He followed the Lord with all his heart. But he's following the Lord, and the king of Assyria comes. He's trying to invade Judah. But look to verse 7. And see what he understands. See what Hezekiah understands about greatness. It's not who has the bigger army. Verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horde that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. Hezekiah understood that true wisdom and true greatness was not about who has the bigger, more powerful army, or even who has greater wealth, greater physical, military strength. Hezekiah realized what true greatness was in following the Lord with all his heart. Because God, the one with them, was greater than the Assyrians. We know that eventually, after Hezekiah, eventually the kingdom of Judah was taken away into Babylon. And God's people were in captivity for 70 years. But while they're in captivity, there's a man named Haman who tries to destroy God's people. In the book of Esther, we have this account. And we won't go over it all now, really. But a man named Mordecai was key and instrumental in stopping Haman. Haman was trying to build himself up, was trying to be great in the eyes of the king. But Mordecai stopped Haman's wicked plan. Mordecai stopped that. And in Esther 9, verse 4, this is what's said about Mordecai. Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For the man Mordecai became greater and greater. And in chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, the full account of the greatness of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second, only to King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and in favor with his many kinsmen, who sought the good of his people, and the one who spoke for the welfare of his whole nation. Mordecai became great, not because he was looking out for himself and trying to build himself up like Haman was, but Mordecai became great because he was pleasing to God. Mordecai became great because he was trying to protect God's people. Consider Daniel. Of course, we know that in captivity, Daniel's there. he's taken, and they're in the, you might call it a training program. And so this official over them tells Daniel and his three friends, here are the king's foods, here are the king's delicacies, and you're going to eat this, and you're going to drink this. This is the prescribed diet for you. But Daniel and his friends say, no, we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's delicacies. That reminds us of something that we can read in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 3. Will you turn there with me? Proverbs 23, 3. Or rather, let's begin in verse 1. 23, verse 1. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you're a man of great appetite. But I want us to notice here in verse 3. Do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. It's not necessarily the same context. But we can understand with Daniel. Daniel understood that it's not eating royal food, that it's not being fancy or wealthy or having associations with kings that makes someone great. It's following God and being faithful to God. And because of that, Daniel eventually became very, very powerful in Babylon and had wealth, had power. But it was not because he sought that for himself, but it was because he had wisdom and followed the Lord. So the children of Israel, or Judah, they're in captivity. But then they eventually, they return to their land, return to Judah. There are 400 years of silence, and then there's a prophecy. There's a woman named Elizabeth, and an angel comes to her husband, Zechariah. And in Luke 1:15, this is what the angel says to Zechariah. He tells him that he's going to have a baby boy. He's going to be named John. And in Luke 1:15, the angel says, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. John the Baptist. He's prophesied that he will be great in the sight of the Lord. But go over to Matthew 11:11 and read what Christ says about John the Baptist and greatness. Matthew 11:11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. But John the Baptist understood what greatness was. He lived in the wilderness, covered with furs and eating locust and wild honey. He didn't live in a rich palace. He didn't have lots of money. But he served God. He had a very important job for God. But Christ says, John the Baptist was greatest among those born of women. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And so, of course, we come to Christ himself as our ultimate example of greatness. Go back to Luke 1 again. And the angel comes to Mary. And Luke 1:31, this is what Gabriel says to Mary. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. The angel says, you're going to have a child. His name is going to be Jesus. He's going to be great. He's going to have the throne of his father David. He's going to have the throne of his father David. And you remember that Solomon was even wealthier than David. But look in Matthew 12. Or Luke 11, and see what's said about Jesus and Solomon. Matthew 12, verse 42. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. So we've looked at Joseph, we've looked at David, we've looked at Solomon, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, Mordecai, Daniel, John the Baptist, and Christ as examples in the scripture that show us that walking in God's way, having godly wisdom, that's what makes people great. So what does the Lord think greatness is? Proverbs 28, verse 9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Throughout Proverbs and throughout the Psalms, throughout the wisdom literature, well, throughout the whole Testament, we see a great emphasis on keeping God's law and keeping God's commandments, obeying God, and how the wise obey the Lord and the unwise disobey. But in Matthew 5:19, Christ says this, "Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." To the Lord, keeping his commandments, being obedient to him, that is greatness. In Proverbs 7:2, we see this son, or rather this father telling his son, "Keep my commandments and live." And over again in Proverbs, we see this idea of this father telling his son, "Keep my commandments and it will be good for you. Keep my commandments, keep my law, keep my word." We can consider what Moses reminds the children of Israel of in Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 5. He reminds the whole nation of this, about being obedient and wisdom and greatness. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. "See, I have taught you statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today?'" The Lord thinks that obedience is greatness. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. "When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom." The Lord thinks that humility is greatness, which is exactly the opposite of what the world will tell us. But the Lord thinks that humility is greatness. Look at Matthew chapter 18, and read the first 6 verses with me, please. Matthew 18. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." The disciples had a problem with their idea of greatness and their idea of what it meant to be great. And they're arguing, they come to Jesus and ask, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus tells them about humility. "Whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In Proverbs 16, verse 19, the proverb writer says this, "It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud." Proverb writer says that it's better to be humble with low people, people who aren't powerful, people who aren't wealthy. It's better for that than to be divvying up riches with people who are proud and arrogant. In Luke chapter 9, the disciples are arguing, and you really just have the same thing that we've just read about in Matthew 18. They're arguing who is going to be the greatest. And Jesus here says, the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great. Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7. Do not claim honor in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of great men. For it is better that it be said to you, come up here, than for you to be placed lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. The proverb writer says it's better for you to not seek your own honor and seek your own glory. And Christ reiterates much the same thing. Sit in a low place, and then the king may say, come up here, sit near me. Do that, because if you try to make yourself great, sit in an important place, the king may say, go sit, move further away, someone else needs to sit here. You go down there. Humility is what the Lord thinks is great. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 2. A servant who acts wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share in the inheritance among brothers. Someone who is lowly, someone who is servant, who works for other people, who serves other people, if they act with wisdom, they will have an inheritance among brothers. Christ says much the same, or a similar thing, not the same thing. But in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, we see Christ talking about servants. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left. The mother of James and John came and basically said, I want you to make my sons great. In verse 22, Jesus answers, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? They said to him, we are able. He said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit at my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And again, we would see similar statements about being a servant in John chapter 13. What does the Lord think greatness is? Obedience. Humility, servitude, the things that the Lord thinks are greatness is the exact opposite of what the world thinks is greatness. And that's why over and over again in Proverbs, we're told and we're warned, seek wisdom. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to sinners. But seek wisdom and seek the Lord's wisdom. Walk in the way of the Lord and walk in the way of wisdom. Because when we're living our life, when we're at work, when we're at school, we hear all these people talking about things that they think are great. And if we listen to them, and we start to think that's great, then so often we're going to end up doing the opposite of what the Lord thinks is great. We have to have discernment and wisdom and understanding to be able to follow the Lord. So often we're concerned with being great in man's eyes. But we really need to be concerned about being great in God's eyes. We look with me to one last place, Psalm 33. It's not a proverb, but it's in the Psalms, so it's still wisdom literature. Psalm 33 is verses 16 through 22. We see this contrast. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. Now finally consider Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. What the proverb writer says there, that's what makes people great, because that's what the Lord says is great, having the wisdom to follow him. There might be someone here tonight who realizes, I haven't been very wise. I need to wise up. I need to gain wisdom. I need to be more understanding. I want to be wise enough to follow God. I want to show the wisdom that I have by obeying the Lord. There might be someone here who needs prayers for strength, for help, to keep on following the Lord. Because we talked about Solomon. He was wise. He had lots of knowledge. But he let his heart be pulled away from God. And so he might need prayers for strength. But if there's anything that we can do for anyone, won't you please come while we stand and sing?